Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Good afternoon and welcome to U-Zone Wellness. Once again, I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. As normal, I'm broadcasting from right outside of Orlando, Florida. I'd like to welcome all of my visitors from wherever you may, or listeners rather, from wherever you may be listening, either here in the U.S. or wherever else around the world, whether you're listening live or whether you missed a live show and you're listening to a rebroadcast. Right now, we're broadcasting live. I can remind you, if you'd like to call in with a question or comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. We are at blogtalkradio.com/next-level-wellness. Also, we're there on the, you can visit us there. We have the chat room open today. We have a very interesting show for you today. I think you are going to be very, very enlightened by it, and I'd like to remind you before we get into any further though that you can also visit me at facebook.com/naturedoc. That's facebook.com/naturedoc. You can send me a friend request. You can follow me there. I post quite a bit of information with respect to natural health. You can also visit my main blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. That's phase, P-H-A-S-E, the number 3, ministries/WordPress. Again, we have a very interesting show for you today. I think you will like it quite a bit. We're going to be talking about a number of cases. We're going to be following our regular outline with the Week in Natural News Review. We're going to be talking about an interesting article that came out this week that dealt with 10 nutritional deficiencies that can actually cause depression and mood disorders. We've talked about the connection on here before between your gastrointestinal tract and your mental and your brain or your mental capacity. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. We're also going to be talking about a couple of different herbs, about 9 in all, some for just pain in general, some we mentioned before, also some specifically for headache. We're also going to be talking about some very, very important information about sleep. And just how important sleep is. It's one of those laws of health, but there's a lot of science behind sleep deprivation. And not only does sleep deprivation affect areas in the main or the brain, but it also affects a lot of other areas in the body that you might be surprised to learn about. Now we are going to, what we're going to do before we get started, I'm going to take a really quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to jump right into the show today before we have quite a bit of information to cover. Again, thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry, here at U-Zone Wellness. I'll be back in just a moment, and we're going to get started.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/bluezonewellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archived versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
Thank you.
Welcome back to You Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me here on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. We're joining me from around the world. A special welcome to my friends over in Costa Rica. Thank you for listening. We're going to go right ahead and get started. We're going to start off with our first segment, the Weekend Natural Food Review. Those who listen often, you know that this is the segment that we look at a few articles that came out during the week dealing with natural medicine, etc., and we discuss and analyze these articles. The first one is from a popular site that we go to quite often, and you hear me refer to this site quite often, and this one is naturalnews.com, and the name of this article is entitled, rather, Kick Your Chronic Pain to the Curb with These Four Herbs. And again, it came out on August the 31st. So it was just yesterday. And basically, it talked about four herbs that are good in general for pain. And we're going to talk about these here a little bit more. I may throw in a couple of other ones here with respect to the article as well. But the article starts off by mentioning how the FDA has sanctioned prescription drugs for pain, such as oxycodone, Vicodin, Lortab, and others. And the article points out how these drugs are just as addictive as street drugs, and how withdrawal can actually be difficult. The article says they also have expected psychological side effects that actually accompany almost all of the big pharmaceutical products. This article also points out how non-prescribed over-the-counter or OTC pharmaceutical painkillers also have side effects. Some, it says, such as Tylenol, contain acetaminophen, which is a toxic liver killer. In fact, there was a news article out this week, and they were talking about how Tylenol, the company that makes it, are going to have to essentially mark the fact that that Tylenol is actually a potent liver poisoner. It's going to have to be, even though it's indicated on the bottles, from what I understand now, it's a very, very small print. They're going to have to make it very they're going to have to make it clear on the top of the bottles, from what I understand. It is poison to the liver, and it's a risk. It can actually quite a few deaths occur every year, unknown to many people, from taking Tylenol, which in the ingredient that seems to cause the problems, and acetaminophen. Now, this article went on to point out how also ibuprofen may not be as bad as Tylenol, but it's an NSAID, which is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. And the article points out how the side effects may not be as dramatic as those of the acetaminophen, but they do produce gastrointestinal problems if you use them often enough. That is the truth for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Now, the article goes on to point out how it mentions four herbs that have actually been used for pain relief. And we're going to look at these a minute here. We've talked about some in the past, but we're going to talk about a little bit more here. There's a couple on here that we really hadn't delved into. The first one that this article mentioned is a herb called kratom, K-R-A-T-O-M, kratom. And the article goes on to point out how it is a new herb for most of us, and very little has been written about it by our alternative health practitioners or journalists. And he points out how kratom is already embroiled in controversy here in the United States because the state, for instance, he says the state of Indiana has banned it. And the fact of the matter that there's no controversy concerning this particular herb in terms of its efficacy for eliminating pain. So it's not even in dispute. The issue with it, though, is it can make one feel good enough, the article says, to use it as a legal high, and that is a no-no with state governments and the DEA. He goes on to point out how kratom is an ancient leaf herb from Southeast Asia where it has been used for centuries for pain as well as for depression. And he goes on to point out how kratom does give a strong coffee buzz, and that's one of the things that's given people concerns. Now, I will be honest about it right now that I have not had personal experience of using in my practice. I'm going to do some more research on it, do some tests with it in clinical practice and see how well it works, at least as long as it's legal. I'm going to find out some of its constituents, find out how exactly it's being used, why is it causing a high-like or a buzz-type result. determine how much is being taken for relief and see how much if the amount that's needed for relief is actually what's causing the buzz. It could be good, it could be bad. We're just going to see. But again, the name of the herb is kratom, K-R-A-T-O-M. Its efficacy, though, is undisputed in terms of disability to ease pain. Now, if you're in Indiana and you listen to this show, it's been banned there. It's illegal, apparently, so I would not suggest or recommend that you take it. But therefore, there are other alternatives that you can use. The next one is one of my favorites. You heard me mention it before. It's turmeric. Again, as this article points out, it is without controversy. It's very effective in its efficacy for pain relief because of its ability to reduce inflammation and safely at that. The article goes on to point out how it is well established from international alternative as well as the mainstream medical research as well as clinical application. And not only that, it is less expensive than kratom. Even if you purchase the whole herb turmeric or if you purchase its active ingredient, curcumin. Now, I say quote active ingredient because although curcumin has been isolated as one of the active ingredients, the thing about herbs is that, and the thing about our technology is many times we find out that we think that it's an active ingredient, and then when our technology increases, we find out that the creator has there are other constituents within the herb that we don't even know about. It was just beyond our technology or capacity to detect. And not only that, most herbs work in a better fashion when you combine them or when you take them in the whole form because of the constituents. There are one or two herbs that work ideally when you make them as an extract, but generally speaking, when you take the herb in its whole form, there are constituents in there to cause the herb to work in such a fashion that it would work differently if you were begin to extract some of those herbs out or rather extract the main herb out or the main constituent out rather because it's been identified as the active ingredient. Many times when we take that out, we leave a lot of the other ingredients that might have actually enhanced the capacity. So again, in most cases, it's better to take the whole herb. There are a couple of occasions where the extracts could be used and it's not a bad idea to use them. But in general, it's best to use the whole herb. In this article, the author went on to point out how he says that with both turmeric and curcumin, optimal absorption is achieved by mixing either one with a healthy fat. And he quotes Dr. Russell Blaylock suggesting in removing the curcumin from a capsule and placing it into a spoonful of good olive oil. And so this, again, is a good idea. Because it's easier, it's assimilated easier when it's in a good fat like olive oil. So again, one of the recommendations from Dr. Russell Blaylock is to take the curcumin, remove it from a capsule, placing it into a spoonful of olive oil. The article is going to point out further, if you take a quarter cup of turmeric powder mixed in a half cup of pure water and simmer it for a few minutes on medium, stirring constantly to form a slight, more thick paste. It can also be placed in the refrigerator and can be used for several weeks, or will keep rather for several weeks. I've actually read this in a book some years ago and doing some herbal research of how the turmeric can be made into a paste and be used very, very effectively. It also can be stored for a few weeks. Also, the article points out how you can combine turmeric with black pepper to increase or enhance its bioavailability. I would not recommend combining it with black pepper, but rather with cayenne pepper to also increase its bioavailability because the cayenne pepper is going to help carry that curcumin or turmeric throughout your system, and it's going to thereby enhance the ability of it to work for pain. Not only that, cayenne pepper itself has the capacity to help reduce pain. So you're getting you're killing two birds with one stone. The next herb that's mentioned in this particular article is devil's claw, another popular herb amongst herbalists when it comes to pain and inflammation. The author points out how devil's claw is actually a South African herb that has been popular in Europe for about 200 years. And he points out how it is actually a powerful and safe anti-inflammatory for arthritis, tendonitis, as well as muscle pain. The article points out further that the German Commission E, which is Germany's version of our FDA, has actually approved Devil's Claw as a non-prescription medicine. And of course, it's not medically recognized by the FDA, but its legality is currently not an issue. Finally, he points out Arnica, which is a homeopathic topical cream or salve that's used for bruises, minor injuries, minor injury pains, and chronic pain, arthritis. Again, Arnica, you can find it also in cream form in most health food stores. And the article points out how some pain sufferers have caught on to the trick of using pharmaceutical-grade DMSO topically with Arnica to greatly enhance its efficacy. And DMSO is basically, we use it in natural medicine as a carrier. And essentially, what it helps do is, if you combine it, as pointed out here in this article, with Arnica, it actually helps carry the Arnica into the skin, into the tissue. I like to refer to DMSO as a liquid needle, for it has the capacity to assimilate itself through the skin, through the tissue, through the muscles, and carry whatever is combined with into the area. And thereby, you can greatly increase the efficacy of the Arnica for topical pain or muscular pain. So again, a good idea to get pharmaceutical grade, and I suggest, highly suggest that you get pharmaceutical grade DMSO as opposed to the industrial grade. Industrial grade, it can be problematic. It can work, but it can be problematic. So again, if you're going to use DMSO, seek out the pharmaceutical grade, and you can combine that with Arnica for muscle pain, etc. Again, now we're going to move on to our next article. This next article, we're going to also take this one from naturalnews.com. And this particular article is another article that's dealing with herbs and with pain. I guess we're going to stay on the pain topic a little bit today, and which is something that natural practitioners and any health professional will have to deal with. And it's very important when you're dealing with medicine is to deal with pain management. You can have a good program, but if you don't have good pain management, it can be problematic for your patient or client. So what we're going to do here is we're going to look at the next article, which is also, it came out on August the 30th. It was also from naturalnews.com. We're going to talk about this and analyze it a little bit as well. It was entitled Eliminate Headaches Fast with These Five Herbs. So it's talking about pain again, but it's basically zeroing in on just headache pain from a natural perspective. The article starts off by saying almost everyone has experienced at least one or two headaches in a lifetime, and how some have to put up with several headaches over time, especially those who experience migraine or cluster headaches. Now, let me say this just from the beginning. Many times, even before having to take or any herbal remedies or supplements, I would always recommend, first and foremost, if you're having a headache pain, is to first determine your diet. Many times, it's the foods that we're eating that can give us headaches. Many people who suffer from migraine headaches have found when they eliminate cheese or when they eliminate red wine or when they eliminate meat, the headaches go away. Many other people find when they have other different types of headaches, it can be caused by being dehydrated, not having enough water. Many times headaches can be caused because we're stressing or because of hormonal problems. And when you stress, too much stress, it can help contribute to hormonal problems. So there are a lot of issues. So, again, you need to consider, think about, okay, what is the cause? Am I stressing? Am I getting enough sleep? Not getting enough sleep can also cause headaches. Am I drinking enough water? Am I having consistent headaches? Being constipated can actually cause headaches. So those are other issues that we have to look at. So you remember, as all natural practitioners will do or will be trained to do and they should do, is always ask the question. When I say natural practitioners, I mean holistic practitioners, even medical doctors who practice holistically. The whole idea of natural medicine is finding out the cause. What is the cause? It's been my experience that even though a herb or supplement will generally work very well for something, if the cause of my headache, for instance, is that I am not getting enough sleep, I'm sleep deprived. And I say I take a herb or I take a supplement, pain may not go away, and then I'll say, well, the supplement doesn't work. It's not that the supplement didn't work or it reduced the pain, but the problem was we didn't deal with the cause. If the cause was sleep deprivation, then the only thing that's really going to work for that is to get to sleep. And then you're dealing with the cause. When you get to sleep, then the headache will go away naturally, as opposed to just taking herbs or other painkillers to stop the problem. Same thing if the problem is the food that you're eating, or if you're stressed out, or if you're constipated. All of these things can contribute. Now, even when then you may take a painkiller, even an herbal painkiller that would deaden the pain, but if you're still consistently having headaches, you have to find what the cause is. Now, this article goes on to point out how migraine headaches are often debilitating with their intensity. They also often have symptoms to accompany the painful head throbbing, such as intense nausea and dizziness. But the article goes on to point out how most headaches arise from muscular and nervous tension. Again, as in the previous article, the author points out how most over-the-counter drugs or OTCs for headaches have side effects, i.e. Tylenol and their generic counterparts, as well as point out how any of these over-the-counter drugs can have, or you may exchange a headache for liver toxicity or even death. And again, that's not to imply that just taking the Tylenol once is going to kill you. But those who take it on a frequent basis and taking, you know, I think it's up to 8 capsules a day, I think that's what it was, these people have died. And I remember looking at some years ago, I think it was on Nightline or one of these TV magazine documentaries, they did a story on Tylenol. And if I remember correctly, they mentioned that Tylenol can have quite a few deaths every year from people flowing. Or taking these, I want to say it was 4,000, but I don't want to, if I'm not mistaken. Now, the article goes on to point out 5 herbs for headaches that works well for headaches. And they also point out aspirin before getting to the herbs. They point out how aspirin and other similar pain relievers actually can cause gastric distress as well as ulcers, and that constantly taking the aspirin can actually lead to strokes. So the article points out that you need to be aware if you're taking daily aspirin to reduce heart attacks. Because you're increasing your stroke risk and you're also gambling with developing ulcers. This is another thing, too. You have to remember that if you've been recommended to take an aspirin a day to help prevent a heart attack, you need to understand that you can very easily, aspirin that often will, in most cases, cause gastrointestinal bleeding, ulcers, and it causes the blood to thin, which could cause other issues. You can get the same benefit for your heart by taking magnesium every day, especially a liquid magnesium. So you can get the same benefits from your heart because the aspirin that they use in the studies to recommend taking the aspirin every day were buffered aspirin, buffered with magnesium. So, and magnesium is awesome for the heart. So again, if you alter your diet, start taking magnesium, it would be, in my opinion, it would be a far better alternative than taking medicines or taking aspirin that's going to cause gastrointestinal bleeding. Now, the first herb that they mentioned in this article is willow. We call it white willow bark or willow bark, what we call it in natural medicine. White willow bark, as the article points out, has a long history of pain relief. The author says white willow extracts were used in the early 1800s, extracting white willows, active ingredients of salicin, which the body converts to salicylic acid, proved to be too time-consuming and costly for rising public demands, he says. He writes further, by the mid-1800s, a German pharmaceutical company created a synthetic version of salicylic acid to meet public demand, but it often caused stomach bleeding and severe ulcers. So the salicylic acid was modified into acetylsalicylic acid, or ASA, by the German pharmaceutical company called Bayer. I'm sure most of you have heard of Bayer. Thus came Bayer aspirin. The author goes on to point out further that though not as severe as earlier synthetic substitutes for willow, ASA aspirin still irritates the inner stomach wall. Willow's active ingredient goes into the stomach again. So now let's break this down. Essentially, the people became familiar with white willow bark and how well it worked. But in the 1800s, it was very time-consuming to extract the willow's active ingredients. So the people became, they didn't have the patience for it. So Bayer aspirin or Bayer came in and made a synthetic version of it. But the synthetic version of it was too rough on people's stomachs. It causes, again, bleeding and severe ulcers. So they've made a different version to soften it up, and now, but it still has problems. But when you take the original, so essentially they copied the molecular structure of the active ingredient of white willow bark and made what we call aspirin, where if you take aspirin itself, you're going to have problems. Where if you take the natural aspirin, which is white willow bark, you're not going to have the problems, and here's why. And as he points out also in the article, that in the body, white willow's active ingredient goes into our stomach as salicin, but it's later converted in the body as a pain-relieving salicylic acid, thereby avoiding irritation to the stomach lining. So when man did it, the salicylic acid causes problems in the gastrointestinal tract into the stomach because it begins to release into the stomach sooner than the body could handle it. Where in God's version, when we take it that way, it goes into the stomach as salicin, is then later converted in the body as a pain-relieving salicylic acid, hereby avoiding irritation to the stomach lining, and thus giving the same pain-relieving benefit that you would get from aspirin. Again, white willow bark or willow has been clinically proven to be just as effective for tension headaches and other pains as aspirin is. So why take a synthetic form of what man has made with all of its side effects when we can get what the Creator has given us in the terms of a real pain reliever without the side effects? The next pain relieving herb that we're talking about here, we're going to talk about here, is, as pointed out in this article, is butter burr, BUTTERBUR, and it's an old folk remedy for other ailments, but it has recently been discovered to be effective for migraine headaches. So if you're a migraine headache sufferer, write that down, butter burr, BUTTERBUR. But remember, as I said earlier, when you're dealing with any disease or pain, you must first remove the cause, the underlying cause. The cause could be your food. Again, many migraine headaches have been traced back or contributed to certain foods that we're eating. So you can many times just remove the food and not have to worry about taking any pain relievers, natural or otherwise. Now, the author in this particular article points out, in respect to butter bark, he said that the May 2000 journal Headache reported rising interest and clinical proof that butter burr was very effective for relieving migraine headaches without side effects and even preventing future migraine repeat episodes. He says further that some evidence points to butter burr as effective for even cluster headaches, which generally are short, very intense, and on one side of the head. He says further that one of those clinical trials involved the Albert Einstein College of Medicine study of 245 migraine sufferers, 68% of whom had at least 50% reduction of migraine symptoms when using butter burr. He goes on to point out how if you do wish to use butter burr, make sure it's labeled PA, which means pyrrolidine alkaloids free, before you buy it. So again, that's butter burr, BUTTERBUR. We'll talk about two or three more as he points out here. The next one is feverfew. Again, we're talking about herbs that are very beneficial for headache pain, specifically here for migraines, as well as tension headaches. Many people have heard, those in the natural health field are familiar with feverfew. It has been used with quite a bit of success when treating migraines and even cluster headaches. Feverfew is actually a member of the daisy family, and when the part of the herb which is used is the leaf. Scientists really don't know much about how it works, but it's believed anti-inflammatory properties from feverfew's constituents actually can inhibit the chemicals that cause brain blood vessels to spasm and thereby cause pain. In fact, as the author points out in this particular article that we have been discussing here, there was a 1997 study by D.G. Pelvic and R. Carrasco, which showed that feverfew significantly reduced pain and alleviated nausea, as well as light sensitivity. These things, if you're a migraine sufferer or you know someone who is, you know that these things actually cover, or these symptoms rather, oftentimes accompany or come prior to the onset of the actual pain of the migraine. And in this particular study that was done in 1997, they found that it actually helped reduce pain as well as alleviate nausea as well as light sensitivity. and many people consider feverfew just as effective as a preventative for the migraine. This article says one source recommends daily dosing of 250 milligrams of the extract for around a month to minimize migraine frequency and intensity. We'll talk about two more before we move on to talking about our 10 nutritional deficiencies that actually cause depression and mood disorders, or can cause depression and mood disorders. That would be we'll pivot from this article right over into that. But the last two herbs we will talk about with respect to headache pain, migraine, as well as other types of pain, will be skullcap. Very, very, very effective herb. It's not only is it effective, but it's very safe. It's an effective solution for tension headaches as well as for tension itself. And skullcap is available both in extracts as well as capsules. I typically like to use the extract simply because the extract is about 10 times stronger than the powdered herb in general. When I say extract, I'm talking about the liquid extract. Also, the bioavailability is easier because you can put it in warm water or whatnot and take it that way. But it's also very important, as the author points out in this article as well, to make sure that your skull cap is unadulterated and not mixed or even substituted with any other herb, like which may often be done with germander. Finally, he mentions ginger and or ginkgo biloba. Both are useful for tension headaches as well as other types of headaches stemming from jaw as well as sinus problems. Of course, the ginger is anti-inflammatory, and the ginkgo actually helps increase blood circulation. Ginkgo biloba can also intend to increase mental alertness and improve minor memory issues because it dilates the blood vessels in the brain and helps increase blood circulation to that area. And especially if I was making a formula, I would definitely include with that ginger and that ginkgo biloba, I would include white willow bark, skullcap, feverfew, flaxseed, and probably butterbur, all in that one formula for a very powerful, powerful pain relieving formula. There are other herbs that can be used, but those are just some of the ones. And remember, when you combine a few together, it's been my experience that you will almost always get better results than by just using that one herb. So again, you are listening to UZone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. If you want to, if you have a question or a comment, you can call in at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. We also have the chat room open here. I know many times people don't like to call in, but if you have a question or comment, you can leave it in the chat room. We're going to move over to our next article. In this article, we're going to be talking about nutritional deficiencies that can cause depression and mood disorders. And this can cause a lot of problems, a lot of family problems, unbeknownst to a lot of people, is caused by diet. A lot of divorces, separations, etc., are never typically traced to diet, but oftentimes they can actually seriously affect mood, depression, etc. And then when one or two persons are in these mood problems, having mood problems or having some other type of depressive problems, whether it be mood, being moody, not feeling well when they should, being crabby, being unkind, being very, very rude, whatever it might be, many times this is directly connected with the food that they're eating. You heard me say on here many, many times that there's a very, very close connection between the food that you put into your mouth and your behavior. This was pointed out in school when I took a class called Orthomolecular Nutrition. Very, very important class showing how nutrition, the bioavailability of certain nutrients in the body can drastically affect the mind. So let's look at this article here. This article was from the blog, from the blog section of naturalnews.com, and I'm going to be talking more about this. The first thing they pointed out with respect to nutritional deficiencies and the problems that we have with them is eating junk food. And this is so true because, of course, junk food is called junk food for a reason. It typically does not have enough or any, in many cases, nutrients. The body does not crave food. It craves nutrients. So here's the problem with junk food. Not only does it not provide nutrients that your body needs to function for health, but it takes up nutrients, the necessary nutrients that it's going to take to digest the food. So it's been a burden on the system, but it's not giving anything back to the system. And so it's consuming the nutrients that you need to function, and yet it's giving you bad stuff all at the same time. So let's talk about this for a minute. Is your diet, ask yourself this question, is your diet filled with sugar, junk foods, sodas, or lots of processed food? Do you skip meals often? If you suffer from depression or mood disorders, you need to start a food diary of the foods that you eat every day. This is another thing that we were taught some years ago in school, that when persons come in with, and this particular class dealt so more so when people come in with food allergies, where they need to start a food diary. But the same thing can be very, very helpful when you're looking at mood disorders, because you can begin to determine how your mood may change based upon certain foods that you're eating, especially when you're eating junk foods or foods that you know in general that are not best for you to eat. So now we also have to think about where we shop. If I were to go into your home and look into your refrigerator or look at your shopping cart when you were at the grocery store, that would tell me the story of your health. And remember, when we're dealing with health, health is not simply you don't have a headache or simply you feel okay. Health is mental, spiritual, and physical, as well as emotional. So if you don't have, when I say health, I can tell your mental health even by looking in your shopping cart or by looking in your refrigerator. And thereby, that mental health or lack thereof could actually cause child abuse. It can cause children to be rebellious and defiant against their parents. It can cause husbands and wives to have problems, divorces, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of these things, again, can be affiliated with health or lack thereof. Now, let's move on. Number two, a deficiency in omega-3 fatty acids. Now, omega-3s are found typically in fish and flaxseed. A lot of the main doctors now recommend that you eat lots of fish. I don't recommend that. I don't subscribe to that. You know, if you listen to the show, that I describe a plant-based diet, you can get... If you're eating a plant-based diet, what's known as a vegan diet, you're not going to have some of the other problems that a person who may be eating flesh is going to have. So flaxseed oil, eaten on a daily basis should do you fine. A deficiency of omega-3 fatty acids or an imbalance between omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids can actually be one of the contributing factors to having or developing depression. Because omega-3 fatty acids are very important to your brain function as well as your mental outlook on life. Many people are down and they're in the dump and they're depressed simply because they are deficient in omega-3, or there's a problem between the ratio between the omega-3 and the omega-6 fatty acids. Also, these fatty acids also help people who suffer from inflammation and pain problems. In fact, researchers have actually found that many patients with depression and mood disorders are deficient in omega-3 fatty acids. Again, I recommend getting them from black seed and plant sources, all nutrients. Not only that, when you the problem with fish, even today, even if fish was is not as pure as it used to be, but even with that, fish have never been fish are typically pointed out to be such a nutritious food, but you don't often hear the other side of the story. And so, yeah, fish have some nutrition. Most foods have some nutrition to them. But the question becomes, is the nutritional benefit in there enough to offset the potential harm of eating these foods consistently. And it's been my experience that it's not. So, you know, why eat an inferior diet when we have the capacity to eat a superior diet? And thereby, why have inferior health when we have the capacity before us to have superior health? And so that is the position that I take on that. Also, another deficiency that's been seen to help or contribute to causing problems, mental problems or mental issues, is deficiency of vitamin D. Now, we've talked about vitamin D on here quite frequently, and we've talked about how it's important to your immune function, to your bones, and to your brain health. In fact, we've said that sunlight is the richest source for natural vitamin D. In fact, the journal Clinical Nutrition on January 21st of this year published a result of research that analyzed over 18,000 British citizens with vitamin D deficiencies and associated mental disorders. And they found that a deficiency of vitamin D was present in patients with depression as well as those with panic disorders. And the study results stated that the people who are deficient in vitamin D are at a higher risk for developing depression later in life. Not only that, they found that most seniors are deficient in vitamin D. And people who work long hours in offices are typically found to be deficient as well. So you need to do what? Get out in the sun. Let that sunshine shine through your eyes, get down to your pineal gland, help you feel better, and help prevent depression later on. Take a long walk during your lunch break or walk your dog. Play a game with the kids outside. Do something to get outside every day in the sunshine. And if you live somewhere where some parts of the year you can't get vitamin D because there's not a lot of sun, then get a vitamin D supplement. D3, as you heard me say before, D3 is a superior form of supplementation because that's the kind that you get from the sunshine when that ends up in your body when the sunshine hits the skin and combines with the cholesterol in your body to become vitamin D. Next is your B vitamins. Now, we've gone over your B vitamins on here before. If you're a current regular listener, I'm not going to go through all the details of the B vitamins again. You can go back and listen to one of the rebroadcasts of it. There is much research in neuropsychiatry that proves the link between B vitamin deficiencies and mood disorders, including depression. You'll hear me talk about often recommending, especially if you stress a lot, that you need to take the B complex vitamins. Very, very important. There's lots of research, as I just said here, in neuropsychiatry that proves the link between B vitamin deficiencies and mood disorders, including depression. Next is zinc, folate, chromium, and iron deficiencies. All of these can be associated with mental disorders or moodiness. Patients with depression are often found deficient in many other nutrients, including these, again, zinc, folate, chromium, and iron deficiencies. Also, chromium, you will note, is one of those minerals that are found deficient in those people who have diabetes as well. And most of our foods are lacking in these minerals and trace minerals. So you may want to get on supplementation of trace minerals. I take trace minerals myself. Iodine deficiency is another one. Iodine is necessary for your thyroid to work properly. And the thyroid is part of the endocrine system, which is one of the most important glands in your body. The thyroid gland affects every function of the body, including your body temperature, your immune function, as well as your brain function. Not only that, iodine is found in foods such as potatoes and cranberries and kelp. So again, remember, iodine deficiency, the thyroid gland is very, very important. Again, iodine is found in potatoes, in cranberries, in kelp, and in some other food. Just do some search online to find out which other foods are high in iodine. Again, amino acids deficiency. They are basically, used to be considered eight, but there are nine, they call them, quote, necessary amino acids. It's like 23, 24 and all, and they're the nine necessary ones, but all amino acids are necessary or they wouldn't be in the body by the creator. And so these are just the eight or nine that the body don't produce in and of itself. It produces 16 or 17 on its own. And the other ones you have to get from food. And so, but a lack of amino acids or a deficiency of amino acids can cause big problems. Amino acids, again, they're found in the foods that we don't recommend eating, like in meat and in eggs and fish. They're also found in high quality beans and seeds and in nuts. So if you eat a variety of, again, I've always talked about eating a variety of foods. You shouldn't eat the same thing over and over every day. You eat a variety of foods, and there's a lot you can do with that with a plant-based diet, a healthy variety of fruits, nuts, beans, grains, and if you eat these things, you should eat a variety, and you do all those 8 laws of health that we talked about that the Creator has given us. Again, trust in the Creator, abundant amount of sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control or temperance. These are the 8 laws of health that all healing are based on. You have to understand that the connection between your mental or mood disorders or depression and amino acids is also very, very, very important. It's a very, very close connection. Not all foods contain all of the amino acids that you need. So your brain uses the amino acids that are found in the food you eat to manufacture your neurotransmitters, and these neurotransmitters are messengers. They're needed for your brain to function at its optimal level. So let's ask for a minute. What are neurotransmitters, and what do they have to do with, say, depression? A healthy brain function, or rather healthy brain function, needs the proper balance of these neurotransmitters. Some neurotransmitters calm the brain, others cause the brain to be excited, or they excite the brain. Now, their balance in the brain actually creates stability of your emotions and of your thinking. So again, we're back to a balance of homeostasis. So often depression and other mental disorders are actually caused by imbalance of these neurotransmitters. Ones like dopamine, noradrenaline, and GABA or GABA are three of very, very important neurotransmitters, and they are often deficient in depression. Again, dopamine, noradrenaline, and GABA, they are often found to be deficient in people who do not have, or who are rather deficient in them. As I talked about earlier, when I had taken orthomolecular nutrition back in school, we studied how a lot of orthomolecular nutritions found that treatment with amino acids, including tryptophan and tyrosine, phenylalanine, and some other ones, can actually correct different mood disorders like depression. And what the orthomolecular doctor and nutritionist would do, he would first take your urine and blood samples, and he would test your amino acids level. Then he will, if he finds imbalances, he would give you amino acid supplements in the optimal dosage to help to correct the problem. And so basically, regular doctors, medical doctors, unless they're actually practicing holistic medicine, will know in general very, very little about nutrition as it applies to healing. And so if an orthomolecular doctor or one, a holistic doctor who understands this, if you have an issue with depression or mental symptoms, he can look and he can determine from your blood tests, et cetera, urine tests. And if it's a nutritional imbalance, such as an omega-3 deficiency, you would be prescribed that particular supplement. Instead of treating it with drugs, they treat the deficiencies that cause the mental symptoms with vitamins, minerals, or amino acids. And so we are going to call on that article. We're going to wrap it up with that because we've gone a lot further in this first segment that I intended. But I think it's very important to understand. It's very, very important to understand that nutritional deficiencies can really, really, really lead to a lot of problems, mental problems, which can have, which by extension can lead to societal problems, family problems, church problems, job problems, all because you were deficient. I've had to work with people over the years who've had depression and other mood or mental issues. And almost that's the first thing to look at. Look at what they're eating. Look at the situation that they're in. Is the situation stressful? Because remember, I said earlier, your stress can actually deplete your B-complex vitamins. And I mentioned earlier that there's been a lot of studies that attach irrational behavior with the B-complex vitamin deficiencies and some of these other deficiencies. So very, very important to understand these things. Now we're going to pivot now over from our Week in Natural News review to our healing foods. And in our healing foods, we are going to look at just a couple of foods here, not specific foods, but we're going to talk about a little bit about fruits and vegetables. In fact, there was a study I want to talk about here briefly that came out earlier this year, which was based on some research that had been done earlier. And the study found that women who eat more produce had lower bladder cancer risk. So, yes, if you eat, remember I said the closer you eat in harmony with the colors of the rainbow, which are red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet, two elements. The closer you eat in harmony with the rainbow, and the closer you eat in harmony with the garden, the healthier you'll be. And there was a study that came out, and as I just said, where the women who had less bladder cancer risk than those who ate less. And this was a study from the University of Hawaii Cancer Center. And the researcher, the lead researcher was Song Yi Park. And his colleagues at the University of Hawaii Cancer Center said that the investigation was conducted as a part of the multi-ethnic cohort study, which was established in 1993 to assess the relationships among dietary lifestyle, genetic factors, and cancer risk. And it's interesting to note that, as I've said before, you hear me say on here over and over and over again, that a plant-based diet, especially with copious amounts of fruits and vegetables as the Creator has given us, would work to eliminate or prevent countless diseases. And this goes on to prove it. And again, we're here in our Healing Food segment. And here we're talking about the capacity of fruits and vegetables to heal. Now, this particular study that I'm referencing here was from the University of Hawaii Cancer Center. The researchers in doing this study analyzed data that was collected from 185,885 older adults over a period of 12.5, almost 13 years. Of these people, 581 of them had invasive bladder cancer that had been diagnosed. 152 of them were women and 429 of them were men. Now, the researchers, after adjusting for variables related to cancer risk, including their age and smoking, etc., they found that women who consumed the most fruits and vegetables had the lowest bladder cancer risk. In fact, this particular study from the University of Hawaii Cancer Center was published in the Journal of Nutrition, and it found that women consuming the most yellow, orange vegetables were 52% less likely to have bladder cancer than women consuming the least yellow, orange vegetables. The data also, according to the study, suggested that women with the highest intake of the vitamins A, C, and E had the lowest risk of bladder cancer. So eating fruits and vegetables that are high in the different colors of the rainbow, yellow, orange vegetables, etc. And these vegetables and fruit would typically have vitamins A, C, and E, and these were the vitamins that were associated closely with women having a lower risk of bladder cancer. As the study pointed out, they had 52%, they were actually 52% less likely to have bladder cancer. That's very significant. That's over half. So you slash the chances that you will develop bladder cancer by more than 50% just by eating copious amounts of fruits and vegetables, the yellow, or in this particular case, yellow orange vegetables. They also found out the lead study of the author said our study report supports the fruit and vegetable recommendation for cancer prevention. And so here we have again one of the foods that our Creator has given, or not one of the foods, but when we look at how our Creator has directed us to eat, the optimal way to eat to prevent sickness and to bolster health, we find, again, study after study after study after study is in harmony with what we call the laws of health. The original diet, as pointed out in the book of Genesis, was what we call a plant-based diet. And if you listen here, you know that I've gone over several studies from every angle imaginable. And I know also from having a personal practice and having to work with people with different diseases, and recognizing that the only way that they're going to accomplish health, no matter what drug or whatever they're trying to take, unless they change their diet, their eating habits, and alter their lifestyle, even though there are other negative factors, the two main negative factors is stress or distress, and bad eating. Without correcting those things, as well as some other things, they're going to be problems. You're not going to get health. You're not going to get healing, and all of the drugs given will grant some temporary relief, but ultimately it will only make the problem worse because you're not dealing with the underlying cause. I also want to point out a couple of other vegetables. I want to refer to another study as well, which is in harmony with eating, in harmony with the rainbow. And this is a study that found celery and artichokes, as well as oregano, can actually help kill human pancreatic cancer cells. Now, pancreatic cancer is one of the most deadly forms that we have. Very, very deadly cancer. Very hard. It's one of the most difficult ones to treat as well, to get positive results from. It's a very deadly cancer. Most people are dead within 6 months. A high percentage of people are dead within 6 months of developing pancreatic cancer. One of the things that I suggest that would help cut back on people developing pancreatic cancer is eating copious amounts of fruits and vegetables to help take the burden off of the pancreas to have to produce so many enzymes to help break down this cooked food. Because fresh fruits and vegetables they have enzymes already to help take the burden off of the pancreas. Now, this particular study, interesting, and they found that celery, artichokes, and herbs such as Mexican oregano actually contain a pentagenin and luteolin flavonoids that kill human pancreatic cancer cells. And this was a study that was cited by U.S. researchers. Now, this was done by Elvira D. Major, a professor of food chemistry and food toxicology at the University of Illinois, and Jody Johnson, a doctoral candidate in Major's lab, who has since graduated. And they found that by using these flavonoids from foods like celery, artichoke, and oregano, by using these flavonoids as a pretreatment before administering a chemotherapeutic drug, inhibited an enzyme that facilitated killing human pancreatic cancer cells. They wrote that a pentagenin alone induced cell death in two aggressive human pancreatic cancer cell lines. So just using these flavonoids alone, they were able to kill, induce cell death, what's called apoptosis. They went on to say, and they were testing this in combination with chemotherapy drugs. They said that they were able to kill these cells without any kind of chemotherapy drug. But then what they did, they said we received the best results when we pretreated cancer cells with the pentagenin for 24 hours, then applied the chemotherapeutic drug for 36 hours. The scientists found also, according to the research, that a pentagenin inhibited an enzyme called glycogen synthase kinases 3 beta, which led to a decrease in the production of anti-apoptotic genes in the pancreatic cancer cell. Again, as I said earlier, apoptosis means that the cancer cell self-destructs because its DNA has been damaged. The study found that in one of the cancer cell lines, the percentage of cells undergoing apoptosis or cell death went from 8.4% in cells that had not been treated with the flavonoid to 43.8% in cells that had been treated. And in this case, no chemotherapy drug had been added, the researcher said. So that's a major jump from 8.4% cell death all the way to 43.8% just from flavonoids from foods such as celery, artichokes, oregano, etc. They pointed out that if you eat these foods on a consistent basis throughout your life, it can actually greatly decrease the probability that you will develop pancreatic cancer. Now, you combine that with the other laws of health that we talk about here on You Zone Wellness, then you will put yourself in a pretty good position not to develop pancreatic cancer or a number of other diseases. Again, you've been listening to You Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We are about out of time. I'd like to thank you for listening. I'd like to remind you to join me again next week here at the same time, same place. We plan to have another interesting and informative show for you. again, wherever you may listen, I thank you again. And just remember, you will be able to catch this show from the beginning. Within about 10 minutes, the replay will be available. And again, thank you for listening. And until next week, God bless and be healthy.